We're doing something.
So it's too good to share with you what happened just now. While you all were here in adoration, and while it was rather that Deacon and Fabian were preparing for adoration, and while you were still in the office there, I got a phone call right after I just finished having my meal for the day. Got a call from a random number that I'd never seen before. They called and no words came out, so I thought, oh, some sort of crank call. Then I hung up on them because there was nothing that was there, because it seemed like they hung up on me, actually. Then they called back again about 2 minutes later. I said, okay, great. Now I'm not even going to answer it with any joy because I feel like they're trying to steal my voice in some sort of way, some scam that they're running or whatever. And it was a woman, and she said, Father, you don't know me. You've never met me before. I've lived here our whole lives, but my husband has never received baptism. My husband has never received baptism, and he's dying. He's never received baptism. His whole life, he's just put it off and put it off. He's helped our kids be raised in the faith. He's always been at Mass and various things. He's a man of faith, but he just never has been baptized in anything, even though he grew up with various faiths in his life. He wants baptism. I've asked him. He wants to be baptized. And so I'm thinking, what? Right. Like, right, he wants baptism at this time? No, you're probably just projecting that on him at this moment. I have to hear that from him, or at least have some sort of sign that he really wants to have baptism before I can give it to him. Otherwise, I just can't. That's what the church teaches. And so, but I'm thinking, well, maybe there's a movement there, but maybe it's just not like what she's saying right here. I got to make sure that he's understanding because he's an older man. And so she says, yes, he's conscious. Come over. I said, oh, I can be over there in 10 minutes. In 10 minutes, that's enough time for me to get everything together. It took a little bit longer than that to get over there. And when I arrived, what do I find? Not a man who's dying, but a man who's just laying on a bed. Totally conscious. Totally conscious in every way possible. Going, okay, like, what's going on? So I'm thinking in my mind, what do I do at this point? Well, if I'm going to get him ready for sacraments, that means he needs to be instructed in them. And so I don't know what kind of instruction he's going to need. Does he need the few-minute instruction whereby, because he's about to die, so I just got to make sure that he's really just makes any sort of semblance of saying, I want Jesus? Or do I need to come back on successive days and make sure that he understands the fullness of what baptism is, the fullness of what First Holy Communion is, the fullness of what sacramental confession does for a person's life, the fullness of what anointing of the sick does, so that he understands the faith in order a way to be able to assent to it? Or is it somewhere in between those two extremes? And so going through that moment there with him, I come to there and realize, yeah, he's kind of sick, but he's totally conscious. He's totally able to reply to me. He's talking to me about his life and about his upbringing a little bit, going, well, he wants it. So let's see what's going on. But they say he's dying. Well, let's opt for minimal and see. Maybe I get to visit him a couple of times before he passes. But he seems like he's totally fine. I don't see any sign of grave illness, nothing imminent about his mortality. And so we begin going through it, and I say, okay, I'm going to give you the whole rite, just like I would for anybody who's here. I'm going to give you commands at certain points to stand up, to kneel, to all these sorts of things that are going on there. Don't do any of that. Don't do any of that because you're laying on your bed and you can't move, right? But I'm still got to say it because it says to say it right here. So I'll walk you through it, every little thing. I didn't leave out a single word that's there because he's totally fine. He's totally great. And so we go through the entirety of this baptismal rite, just like some of you have been present for the baptism of adults. All that standing, all that kneeling, all those exorcisms that are played out in there over and over again. This time saying, I asked him beforehand, do you want me to say the exorcisms again in English just so everybody comprehends them, or do you just want me to say them in Latin and understand that you were just exorcised a bunch of times and a bunch of amazing things? So we don't want Satan to come anywhere near you, because you don't belong to him at all. He has no place in this house. And he said, Father, do what you want. He said, okay, I'm not going to say it in English because that'll be shorter. I don't want to freak anybody out by talking about Satan so much in a way that they understand. By the way, that's the reason why it's all in Latin. You can't say it in English at that time anyway. And so nobody gets freaked out. So we go through the fullness of the rite. We do it all. He's saying the Our Father. And by the last Our Father that he has to say, which is only three, his voice is really, really weak in saying the Our Father. And so we're basically carrying him through the Our Father that's there. Then we move on to the other parts of the sacrament, moving very quickly as we go through it. Helped. Who does he select to be his godparents? His daughter and his son-in-law. The only other person in the room is his wife. That's there. They choose the name James. 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 So the whole time I'm calling him James, or in Latin, Jacob. 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 Jacob, which is there. So we call him that over and over again throughout the whole of this rite. And it seems like he's getting weaker as it's going on. His response is becoming less and less, but he's still ardent. And you can see that he's mumbling through it. And he's really trying to receive everything that he possibly can through it. And I go, well, but he's still good enough. He's not going to die right away, even if he is. So it's totally fine. I can still go through every last word that's there. It comes for the time to put the salt in his mouth. I sprinkle some salt that I exercise there, put it in his mouth, and he says, water, water. Okay, I thirst. So I bring him some water over there, and he consumes that. Then what goes on in there, I'm going to leave one part out because it's not so good to share in this sort of forum. But we go through the whole rest of that rite in there, and he's receiving everything in there. Just like we would walk him into the church, we pray those prayers that are there. The exorcism that we pray here, the Ephrathah prayer, where we take the spittle and put it upon his ears and into his nose as well. We get through all of that. We come to the point where at this point, he's basically not so much conscious. He can no longer reply. So I turn to his godmother now, and godmother's daughter, and say, okay, you've got to answer for the rest of him now because he's not able to respond, just like he was a baby. So you respond for him. Do you want it? Do you want it? Do you reject? Do you reject? Do you reject? Do you accept? Do you accept? Do you accept? Do you believe? Do you believe? And as she answers for him, then I baptize him those three times with the water going over his forehead and onto his skin, those three times. After that, then I take the sacred chrism, anoint him with that sacred chrism oil that's there to receive his threefold moonrise, threefold power, priest, prophet, and king in that moment of the sweet fragrance that's there. Then we move on to the various parts to put on the white garment and to pretend to hand him the candle because he's on oxygen, so he can't have a lit candle that's with him there. And then I make one big mistake. I read the words that come next. The next words that are spoken are says, go in peace and the Lord be with you. And when I say go in peace and the Lord be with you, his eyes get big. He raises up and perks up, looking at me, looking at his kids, and then looking at his wife. Repeat, me, kids, his wife. And then he goes back. All of a sudden I realize I should not have said those words because I gave him permission to go because he was indeed baptized, but not yet confirmed. Quickly seeing the error of my ways, flip through the pages as quickly as I can, go to the confirmation rite, go to the confirmation rite that's there, grab that oil once again, and as fast as I can, speaking only to God and to him who is there in Latin, letting the words go off my lips as quickly as possibly as they could go out there to get all those words out there, finally giving him the holy anointing of chrism there for his confirmation, at which point his pulse is no more. His pulse is no more. So where is this man right now? He died at the moment of receiving everything. So where is he now? What is he looking at? On whose face is he gazing? Who is he embracing at this time? What joy is upon his soul? Perfectly in heaven. He's gazing upon the face of our beloved Savior, who won for him such a great price that we all desire. He heard the words that each of us long to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom which is prepared for you from the very foundations of the world. Come. Come, you who are weary and find life burdensome. See what I prepared for you. And share the graces of the saints who prayed for him, especially none greater than St. James, whose confirmation name he just received. He probably said, I got you. His guardian angel, who's saying, we did it. The Blessed Mother, St. Joseph, patron of the happy death. St. Rose, who's been his patron for so long in his life. All of these ones, right now today, no purgatory for a man who was there waiting until his 84th year of life to receive baptism, who only asked for it less than an hour before he passed, receiving it fully the moment he passed. What better death than that? What greater joy? What more happy moment than to be him? God is good. He's doing many things. And so for those of us who are preparing to lead lives of consecrated life, who are desiring to see God, what do you want me to do? What's the movement of response? Just like the moment that I realized that my plans changed and I couldn't delay any longer, and the Archbishop said something to me, come be a priest, just like he said to me many other times trying to sell me on the priesthood. And all the other times I said, no, not yet. When I'm finished with what God has called me to do right now, then I'll go. God said in words that will never be able to be forgotten, delayed obedience is disobedience. Delay is disobedience. If a soul would have dithered and not gone immediately, would that soul have been in heaven or not? When God calls, we go. When he gives the inspiration, we move. When he asks us to do anything, whatever that is, we do it right away and we don't wait, because the salvation of souls hangs in the balance. And God wants to use even unworthy servants, foolish servants, to bring about his glory. He can do it on his own, but he wishes to work through men and women like you and me. Today, there's another saint in heaven, not an angel, but a saint. To him we have recourse. Now you can call upon the intercession of Saint Gerald James. The peace of Christ be with you all. And the Lord be with you. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.